Good morning. It's lovely to see you on a beautiful day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that this is Good Friday. We pray that we will be reminded and we will be aware of why this is Good Friday, and that you will help us to respond to your great love. Amen. You'll have noticed that the church is quite bare. Our focus is just on the cross today, and we're asking the question, who do you see? Andrew, if you could come up ready to do our... We've got a number of readings today, and a couple of them will be from people coming to the front. The others will be from where people are sat. Different parts of the Good Friday story. But that question... Who do you see? It's early on the morning of the first Good Friday. Jesus' enemies, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders, have sent a mob to arrest Jesus last night in the Garden of Gethsemane. They held an unjust, completely false trial overnight. And they've decided that Jesus need to be killed on the pretext of blasphemy, but for lots of other reasons. They've woken up the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, to get him to pronounce the death penalty because they're not allowed to carry it out.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, so again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed.
After much to-ing and fro-ing with false witnesses, accusing Jesus, during which he says nothing, we come to the point where Pilate brings Jesus out to the people and he says,
"Here is your king." And they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him! Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
And so we come to the crucifixion.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
Pilate saw a king, an innocent man, who spoke the truth, but also a problem to be got rid of. Who do you see? We're going to be singing now a hymn. On a hill far away stood the old rugged cross. Throughout today, feel free to sit or stand as we sing.
Thank you.
did the people who were there at the crucifixion see? Who do the people who are around this cross see? The Roman soldiers saw just another criminal, an ordinary man who had been given Roman justice. And so they did what they always did. They removed all his clothes, took away all his dignity, and nailed him to a cross to die slowly and publicly in agony. To give a clear message that this is what happens to those who break the law.
When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did.
The chief priests, teachers of the law, and the elders saw a blasphemer who claimed to be God. But more importantly, from their point of view, they saw a defeated enemy who had risked setting the people free from their power and control. And as far as they were concerned, they saw someone who was unable to do anything for anybody anymore. The people saw a fraud and a failure. Someone whose words were bigger than their actions.
It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
To start with, the 2 criminals joined in the insults. But then something changed. One of them saw something the other didn't. He heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And his heart was softened. Press the button on the microphone if you would. Thank you.
One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
What about Jesus' friends and family? Who did they see? We only know of the 12 disciples that John was there. But the women, those who had cared for Jesus, those he had healed and he'd delivered, they were there together with his mother Mary.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cephas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples who loved him standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his own.
They saw a man who loved until the last. How he honoured his mother and provided for her. Mary saw her beautiful boy suffering, dying in front of her, but unable to do anything about it. She saw what the crowds were doing, what they were saying. She was confused and lost. Who else saw Jesus on the cross? The prophets. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, saw him coming out by the River Jordan and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John saw, by the Spirit of God, what Jesus was going to do on the cross, and he spoke it out. But it wasn't just John. All the prophets, inspired by the Holy Spirit, saw Jesus from afar. Hundreds, or even 1,000 years or more, before he was born. Zechariah foresaw that Jesus would be nailed to the cross. "They will look on me, the one who was pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." David foresaw that Jesus would be mocked and scorned. "All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him, since he delights in him." He also foresaw that Gentiles would gamble for his clothes. "They divided my clothing among them and cast lots for my garment." Isaiah saw a suffering servant who would fulfill the will of the Lord in saving his people.
Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him, like a tender shoot and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
Who did God see? We've heard about who other people saw, but who did God see? You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And what of the Roman soldiers, the centurion in charge of the crucifixion? He also saw Jesus for who he was in the moment that he died.
With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Who do you see? The Son of God, or a blasphemer claiming to be someone he's not? Is he a king? Do you see a king, or a fraud? Do you see a savior, or a failure? the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, or a misguided, dead Jew? Do you see the suffering servant who has willingly accepted all our sins being laid on him? Or do you see just a good teacher with some wise words? Do you see your precious, beautiful Saviour who has given his life for you so you might have forgiveness and freedom? Paul saw this by the Spirit of God, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus chose to suffer humiliation, pain, and separation from his Father as he took our sins, our guilt, our shame upon himself on the cross. He did this so we might be forgiven and free. Our next song invites you to come and see.
As he is at the cross.
For us, he was made sin. Help me take it in. Opportunity now in the quiet, as he's going to play a couple of songs, but in the quiet, you may want to say something to Jesus. And you've got some bits of paper, because for some of you it may be helpful to write it down. It's private, You can bring it forward if you'd like to and put it in the bowl that's here. It won't be looked at, but it's a way of saying to Jesus. Some of you might want to say something public, in which case there are the square cards at the back and at the front. There are pens there. You might want to say something public, draw something, in which case you can do it, and if you'd like to, put it down the front. So we've got some time. There's no rush. It's for us to respond to who we have seen this morning. So pens at the back and the sides if you haven't got them. Paper in your hand, if not, a bit of card. Thank you. Father, I thank you that you have given us the eyes of faith to see your Son, to see your love, to know this love that is unknowable. Thank you that you have moved our hearts to respond in prayer, in thankfulness, in ways that are personal to us, and in ways that we want to shout out to others. Thank you, Lord, for our time with you this morning. Refresh us, renew us in our understanding of your great love. And may that love spur us on. May that love compel us to love others with that same love that you loved us. And all these we know we can only do in the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray you'd come upon us, Holy Spirit, once more. Fill us up to overflowing, that we might declare your praise. Amen.
Amen.
Good Friday is here, but Easter Sunday is coming. Jesus is alive. After he had given his life, God raised him from the dead. So Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, carries on from where we left off in those earlier words. Because he had become obedient to death, even death on a cross, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so our final song starts at Calvary. Golgotha, the same word, different language. Starts at the cross. But we cannot end at the cross, even on Good Friday. So we sing our final song, I Cast My Mind to Calvary. Thank you. May God bless you with the knowledge of his love. May he strengthen you and empower you by the presence and anointing of his Holy Spirit. And may he always, always show you his love in Jesus, crucified, risen, ascended, and glorified. Amen.